Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Holiday Edition, Episode 86. Today we're reading Chapter 29 of the book, I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas, by Daniel Y. III with his wife Marika White. Not much was said between Reverend Nichols, his wife, and Paul as they listened to the local news channel for any clue as to Grant Lee's whereabouts. Officer Campello called to inform them that they had a search party out looking for Grant Lee. Natalie's mind was filled with guilt. If I had not been so hard on Cassandra, this probably would not have happened. If I had not taken out my guilt, my hurt, my anger, my disappointment, my failure on Cassandra, this would not have taken place. Cassandra is right. Because of what took place between me and Derek Johnson years ago, I stereotyped Grant. Are you all right, Mrs. Nichols? Paul asked. Oh, yes, Paul. And those families have come to rely on that. Many schools won't even reopen for financial reasons. Thousands of teachers have turned to other work to support themselves and won't come back to teaching. The situation looks even worse for girls who became pregnant while schools remained shut. The long closure may undo decades of educational progress in the East African nation. Under 50% of students participated in any remote learning programs, and the schools may not even stay open. AMG operates several different schools in Uganda, including a nursing school. Dennett says, through some provisions for medical study, we were able to keep that open. The strategy looked different for primary through high schools, Dennett says. We were able to send teachers out to communities and assist with their homeschooling. Pray many would find hope in Jesus through AMG's ministry. According to Mission Network News, an estimated 8 million widows comprise nearly 15% of Kenya's population. This forgotten and overlooked group faces many challenges and social stigma. Widows didn't even show up on the census until 2019. Thanks to Kenya Hope, widows in rural Kenya are rewriting their future. Some of our widows used to have day jobs in Kibera, which is the largest slum in Nairobi. Now they don't even do that anymore because the funds they are making using the skills we taught them are completely supporting their family and then some. Kenya Hope co-founder Joy Mueller says. Many women in rural Kenya depend on their husband's income. When their husband dies, it's difficult for widows to make it alone. Widows with small children face even more challenges. Trade training gives widows an opportunity to meet daily needs and plan for the future. Widows typically have little to no spare funding to pay for job skills training. Sponsorship covers the operating cost of Kenya's Hope's 2-year program. Once a widow is fully sponsored, we give her food assistance, and then we start training her in some very basic skills, Mueller says. The skill that has been a home run is bread making. We have widows completely supporting their families by making bread and selling it. Kenya Hope's program varies slightly by location. In some places, Kenya Hope and his partners teach widows how to make soap. Plus, in Kenya, all the school uniforms are handmade, so we've been teaching our widows how to sew. Now they're sewing all the uniforms for our sponsored children, which is just incredible, Mueller says. Kenya Hope's Widows Might program operates through the local church. They, Kenyan believers, help us identify who the true widows are and the neediest widows. Our program is really holistic. We try to hit all the points of these women's lives, Mueller says. According to Assist News Service, in 1620, the Mayflower carried dozens of Protestant Christians fleeing religious persecution in England to the American colonies. Today, American churches mobilize to help dozens of believers escape persecution in China. Every week, a private Christian school based in Dallas has been teaching the children virtually, and they are collecting support financially. China Aid is leading the diplomatic effort to try to find a solution for the U.S. government to resettle them. China Aid's Bob Fu says, "We call them the modern-day Mayflower Church, a coalition of ministries including China Aid and Voice of the Martyrs Canada is working tirelessly to secure freedom for the Mayflower Church. Want to help? Add your name to a petition seeking U.S. resettlement for this group of persecuted believers. This church is regarded as a church plant by the PCA, Presbyterian Church in America. Pastor Pan was ordained by the Philadelphia-based Presbyterian Church in America," Few says. "We hope the Lord will grant them their freedom to move to the United States." According to Mission Network News, Egypt's president calls on the global community to help the rebuilding efforts in the Gaza Strip. Speaking at a panel of the World Youth Forum, he said recovery from last year's 11-day war between Hamas and Israel requires far more than the $500 million his country already gave. The underground church is struggling. Most of the people we work with in Gaza only have electricity for half an hour to an hour a day, Tom Doyle of Uncharted Ministries says. A friend of ours sent a picture of her hair falling out in clumps, and we know it's from stress and the constant threat of war. These believers won't give up, though. They're clinging to hope and strength that comes only from Christ, and it's leading to gospel opportunities. The fruit of the Spirit is something that the world can see, and it's magnetic. That's attractive to people, Doyle says. People say, why would you even smile? You live in Gaza, why do you have hope? And they are believers able to share the gospel. According to Mission Network News, one of the world's largest unreached people groups might be right under our noses, literally. There are approximately 2.2 billion children worldwide, and most of them live in developing nations. Sometimes, children are the gateway to reach entire families for Christ. Kids enter Jesus at Vacation Bible School or a similar program, and their witness brings parents to the Lord. In other countries like those ruled by a majority religion, parents may know the Lord, but they don't know how to reach their kids. For example, Muslim background believers in a lot of these areas don't have the tools to disciple their kids or introduce Christ to their kids, Greg Yoder of Keys for Kids Ministries says. We want to make sure that Keys for Kids and Unlocked, our teen devotional, is available and ready for them in their language. By joining the Alliance for the Unreached, Keys for Kids Ministries can supply believers worldwide with tools and resources for family outreach. Similarly, Christian ministries can team up with Keys for Kids to supplement existing programs. According to Mission Network News, every day, people flee conflict and disasters, becoming displaced inside their own countries. Some cross borders to become refugees. According to the United Nations, more than 82 million people worldwide have been forced to flee their homes. Increasing people movement creates new gospel opportunities, and believers need tools for their outreach. This movement of people across country lines and out of harm's way, so to speak, has increased the need for and effectiveness of biblical literature, Helen Williams of World Missionary Press says. We just sent some material to a medical group that built a new hospital in the northern part of Mozambique, where there is the most unrest. They use the scriptures with patience. Through his written word, the Lord cares for people who have endured significant trauma. Some believers use WMP material in their outreach to refugees. We just delivered a container of our container to our coordinator in Kenya, and most of that is going up to the very large refugee camps in northwest Kenya where refugees are coming from Somalia, Williams says. In Colombia, a lot of people are coming in from Venezuela. Those refugees are also going into Peru, and we have people asking for increasing amounts of literature so that they can minister to the refugees as well. The literature is also effective in areas where believers are driven from their homes in Myanmar, Northern Nigeria, and Kar, Central African Republic. Pastors are gathering people in small groups and teaching them from the literature, and then leaving the literature so people can continue studying God's Word, Williams says. You can read these stories and more at WhiteHouseReport.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you. Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Holiday Edition, Episode 81. Today we are reading Chapter 24 of the book, "I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas," by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Grant Lee visited the attic again that week to see what other mysteries it might hold. Taking Mr. Brawley's advice, he had been praying about the matter, but God did not seem to be giving him a clear answer. Once in the attic, he started to open up all the boxes. Some just contained bedding and old clothes and books and papers of no interest to him. Stacked away in the far corner of the attic were some other boxes. "I did not see these last time I was up here," Grant Lee said, inching his way over to the boxes and shining his flashlight on them. The first box he opened contained some boys' clothes. The second box had some baby clothes. The third box was smaller and flat and had a beautiful silk nightgown with a note attached to it, "For the love of my life, Grant." Grant Lee opened up a fourth box. It was half filled with letters and postcards. He started to close the box, but pulled out one of them. It was still sealed. The letter was addressed to Cassandra Nichols. It was from someone named Grant, as were all the other letters. Looking at the postmark, Grant Lee noticed some of them dated as far back as 14 years ago. All the letters were signed Grant, GB, Grant B, or Special Friend. The three letters he opened mentioned him, Grant Lee. "That Grant Lee has to be me," Grant Lee concluded as he stuffed some of the letters inside his shirt. He planned on reading all of them. Grant Lee spent the next 3 days reading the letters at nights when everyone was asleep. His curiosity piqued even more as to who his dad was. "Whoever he is, he sure loves my mother and has been making some effort to let her know. But why would the letters be up in the attic unopened? Did they have a falling out?" "Grandmother, who is my dad and where is he at?" Grant Lee asked as he helped his grandmother put more candy canes on the tree. "Like I told you when you were smaller, Grant Lee, you don't need to worry about who your daddy is. We have not seen nor heard from him in years." "Grandfather, who is my daddy and where is he? Is he in jail?" he asked his grandfather. "Now why would you want to think something like that? No, he's not in jail, but he may as well be. It's Christmas time and your mama is engaged to be married to a wonderful man who will be your daddy.